Hello and welcome to Pancreas Pals. I'm Emily.
And I'm Christy. We're just two gals in our 20s trying to live our best type 1 diabetic lives.
Every week we tackle a new topic from the diabetic perspective. Although we offer tips, we are not medical professionals, but we also offer plenty of anecdotes and general thoughts about how to embrace the type 1 lifestyle on your own terms.
It's not always easy to do through all of the literal highs and lows, but it does help to have a Pancreas Pal to turn to.
Guys, welcome to Pancreas Pals. Emily here.
And Christy.
And Miriam.
Miriam literally just introduces herself now. I love it.
The way it should be,
I
truly.
I make myself at home here.
I know. Honestly, this is like your...
We can't have it any other
it's
way.
It's our mental health correspondent, for those of you who are unaware and haven't listened to any other episode, because all we do is either talk about Miriam or have her on the show. Miriam is a licensed mental health counselor. Yes.
That is right. You got it.
And, yeah, so...
And also has...
Oh, yeah.
Type 1 diabetes.
Yes, and she also Both. Talks to herself in the third person when I can't speak. So she's multi-talented.
I really do it all.
She really does do it all. She's also a part of JDRF with me, which is how we know her. Fun fact for those who didn't know that. Anyways, I'm getting off topic, and we haven't even started yet. So this week's topic... We're going to talk a little bit about the upcoming summer months and what it's like going through the summer with type 1, you know, all the situations of having to, if you have an insulin pump, you know, like being nervous to show your pump at the beach or, you know, in your shorts or on your arm, whatever kind of body positivity, pump positivity. And, you know, if you do injections, if you have some scarring or some bruises. And then also, I would love to... start on a different note on that, but Miriam was just telling us how she did diabetes summer camp growing up.
I sure did.
And if you could tell us a bit about that would be dope.
Okay. So I was, I guess backstory, I was diagnosed with type 1 when I was 6. So like before I would have been going to sleepaway camps anyways. So I think when I got to the age where my friends were starting to go to sleepaway camps, this was, you know, purely kind of personal preference. I didn't feel comfortable going to like a mainstream sleepaway camp. I think I was an anxious kid to begin with. I don't even know if it was diabetes related, but I didn't feel comfortable going for somewhere long term where no one really knew how to take care of me effectively. I think I did do like a you know, mainstream non-diabetes camp, but I did a 2-week sleepaway, which I remember being fine, but I remember always feeling, I can't think of the right word, inconvenienced. I remember they would not, I was on injections at the time, I wasn't on a pump yet, and they made me do my blood sugar checks in the infirmary. They wouldn't even really let me do that on my own, because I, you know, I get it, they wanted to kind of keep monitoring me themselves, I suppose, but I had to go to the infirmary every time I checked my blood sugar. I had to go to the infirmary every time I needed to do an injection, which at that point I was on Lantus and, you know, multiple daily injections, so I was doing quite a lot of injections. So I just remember always feeling like I was normal, but I'd feel normal for like an hour or two, and then it's like, oh wait, don't forget, you have diabetes, let's migrate out. Sorry, I'm getting on a tangent on my experience at camp. But this all kind of spurred the diabetes summer camp. So I grew up in Atlanta, so the diabetes camp near us was called Camp Kudzu. And I started going my first summer. It was like maybe a year or two after the camp started. So it was still like very new. But my parents are very involved in the diabetes community in Atlanta, so they knew about this and they really wanted me to go. I think they felt like it would be a really good experience for me to meet other diabetics. But like I said, I was an anxious kid, so refused. And finally, I just kind of gave in. So the first summer I went, I really did not know anyone else with diabetes. I think there was like one other kid in my elementary school, but she was much older than me when I was diagnosed, so it wasn't really a connection. So I remember the first summer I went to camp, and I kind of like made my dad come with me. So my dad is a doctor, so he volunteered to be one of like the camp medics. So that was like, I would only go if he came with.
Aww.
And I remember getting into my cabin, and at this point I'm trying to remember how old I was. I think it was in between 6th and 7th grade. And at this point I had been diagnosed for what, like 6 years almost. And I didn't, or maybe it was in between 5th and 6th grade. Who can remember? Anywho, I wasn't doing my own shots yet. I still, either my mom did it, my parents did it, my family did it, or the school nurse would do them. I, like, refused to do them on my own. And at this time, that was, like, a big lifestyle hurdle.
Right.
To not be at the age when you're starting to get more independent, and I didn't feel comfortable doing my shots on my own. And that felt normal. Like, when I think about it in hindsight, it's like, oh, a 10-year-old doesn't want to do their own, like, shots. Or what was I at that point? 12? I can't get
if
my years right,
fifth
people.
Grade,
but I
you're
think,
probably, like, 10 or 11.
So, like, at 11, if you think about that just, like, logically, an 11-year-old doesn't want to poke themselves with a piece of metal.
It's hard
like, that
for
is
adults,
a normal
too.
Thing.
That's
yeah.
fair.
But as... But
I still don't want to.
Yeah. Right? But as a diabetic, that was, like, definitely impacting my life. So I remember my mom will tell the story, and she gets emotional every time, but I basically got to my cabin at camp, was with, like, 8 other girls with type 1, all of them on shots, all of them doing their own shots. And at that point, it was, like, a peer pressure thing. I was embarrassed that I didn't do my own shots. So literally, it wasn't even the first full day of camp. I think it was like an hour or two I had been at camp. I gave myself my own shot. So then, of course, the way my diabetes camp was set up, it's like one counselor, one clinician. I'm trying to remember. It's like one medical professional, either a nurse or a nursing student even. One just regular counselor, and at least one of the counselors also had to have type 1 themselves. So I think the clinician told my dad, who called my mom, and my mom's like started like crying from relief. She was just like so glad we did this. So basically, that was my first year at camp. The second year of camp, I was really hesitant. I did not want an insulin pump. I did not want anything attached to me. Get to camp the second year, everyone in my cabin has a pump. And again, it was like the peer pressure. I'm like, okay, well, I need a pump now. So my mom loves camp because basically everything she would try to get me to do and knew would be good for me, I wouldn't do until I was peer pressured into it at camp.
Which but we're anywho, not saying I guess, we're pro peer no. pressure, just for everyone.
Exactly.
Listening.
Not peer pressure, but for me, I think just, and this is not diabetes related, this is just Miriam related. I think this was my personality. I was very anxious. I was very shy. I was hesitant to try new things. So I think for me, the camp environment was like the perfect recipe for me to feel one, normal, because everyone else was dealing with what I was dealing with, and two, a little bit of that peer pressure also, which I needed for my personality. But I think in general, if I can just talk about camp generally, it was an unbelievable experience. I think I was a camper for, I can't remember the total years, like 6 or 7 years, and then I was a counselor in training. My camp, Camp Kudzu, does a really good like young adults development program, I guess. They start, if you've been a camper, they start your CIT, counselor in training years, like while you're still in high school, and then while you're in college, you're a full-time counselor. And it's the community is so strong. Like people stay and go to that camp for life. There's still people I went to camp with that still are counselors every single year. And I think what makes it so special is that one, every single camper has type 1.
Right.
And two, it's the counselors have type 1, but also there's always a medical professionals everywhere. So nothing you're doing during the day is ever an inconvenience or ever taking you from your normal routine. Your counselors have everything. All the meals are carb counted for you.
That's
all you have to
dream.
Do is kind of like, that you know, every single meal, there was a menu on the table that said each item with the measuring cup, exactly how many carbs that would be. And then the programming was like regular camp programming, but maybe, I don't even want to say once a day, but there was enough programming interspersed. So like one of the electives, one of the activities you could do at camp was a cooking class. So that was obviously like a more educational thing. They would talk about, you know, the types of food that are easy to eat or what foods we called freebies that you didn't have to bolus for.
That's so cute.
And then there was, I think when we got older, I don't remember this when I was like a little camper, but I remember when we got closer to high school, there'd be a social worker or some sort of like mental health focus really talking about like the hard parts about diabetes and what is it like to, you know, just the psychosocial aspects that we talk about here, just like the other aspects of diabetes that get in your way. And it was just such an amazing experience. Like I can't speak up more highly about these diabetes camps because it's really a time that you feel so normal. You like you're at a freaking diabetes camp and you forget you have diabetes. And I think it's the closest experience you can get to feeling like you're not, like your pancreas works, if that makes sense.
Like you're not inhibited by the disease.
Yeah. I remember like the first couple summers I went, they always would do like an intro, like, lecture sort of. They would kind of like, while the parents would drop you off because they'd have to drop off all your, you know, supplies, and they'd have to drop off all your, you know, your basal rates, things like that, so the medics knew. So your parents would stick around for like a couple hours that first day, and they'd always do like a, the camp director would do a speech or something. And she made a comment, it still sticks with me, like, parents, please enjoy this week. This is your vacation from diabetes. And I remember feeling like so annoyed by that. It's like, well, we don't get a, excuse my language, but we don't get a fucking vacation from diabetes. Like, we never know what it's not, what it's like not to have this. And I'm like, the parents don't even have diabetes. Like, who cares?
That's also like now, a really negative rhetoric to have in front of the children. Like, the last thing they need to feel.
I was going to say.
And obviously, you know, this was said so quickly in passing. It's one of those things, like, it was meant as a way to say to the parents, like, listen, it is hard to have a kid with type 1, which I think now that I'm older and can, like, reflect more, I totally get.
Right.
And, like, now I can totally respect that, like, how amazing that was for my mom to, like, not have to be worried about me. And, you know, my mom was not a helicopter mom. I never got the sense that she was calling me all the time, like, what's your blood sugar? Where are you going? What's this? What that? But, like, she must have been thinking that. And, like, I'm so impressed with her now that this was before Dexcoms. This was before any of that stuff where she could monitor me all the time. So to have a week where she really could breathe and know that I was being taken care of by people who absolutely understood diabetes, that is a vacation for her, and I'm glad that she got to have it. I think at the time I did not respect that, but now I can. But that being said, like I said, I think this diabetes camp is really the closest you get to feeling normal. There's my spiel. So I know I've went off on a tangent there.
No, I mean, I think that's a super important spiel to have. Also, for anyone listening who is of camp age or wants to be a camp counselor at one of these camps,
yes,
it's a very good info and background insight to have. But
absolutely,
it's also good because it broaches a subject that we had wanted to approach, and especially having Christy do, Christy does multiple daily injections, MDI, and apparently you did for a hot minute too, Miriam, and I did,
yes,
honestly, that I never talk about for like a stint for maybe 6 months, because I didn't talk about it because I was getting hematomas because I was using the wrong size needle.
Oy.
That was really fun. I looked like a drug addict. It was very bad.
What's it happened? Too short needles or too long
too
needles?
Too long.
Or too thick?
It was going too deep. Ugh. And I was having like just giant like blood bruises. It was really gross.
Ugh. I'm sorry.
Christy's probably like laughing like this noob.
No, not at all. I'm looking at like my little bruises on my thigh, and I think it's because I'm a righty, that especially in the summer months when, you know, bodies are just more exposed, I suddenly realize which side I've been favoring, and I definitely favor my right thigh, I guess, because I can always get a really good angle on it.
Right.
But now I'm a little bit self-conscious because I notice I have like a little line of like tiny bruises. You know, they're not quite like, they're not blood bruises. That sounds awful. And
yeah,
I'm so sorry that happened
to
you.
It sounded pretty gross, but it was pretty gross.
They're minor, and as easily as I get these kinds of bruises is as easily as they go away. I've talked about this before. I think this was my season one spiel. I'm a huge vitamin E oil gal. You don't need a ton. They're great for scars. It gets rid of tiny little bruises and stuff like that super easily, but you know, by the time you realize you need the vitamin E oil is probably, you know, the time that you have.
By the time you see it, it's too late. Sorry, well, if anyone heard my Dexcom going off in the background, I'm okay. All right, continue.
actually, I was going to ask. I wasn't being insensitive. I just didn't know if you wanted me to talk over it.
No, you're good. You're good. I just didn't want to interrupt, but my diabetes didn't care about that. Anyway.
She never does. The other thing with pens is every now and again you hit a bad spot and there's a tiny bit of blood that comes out, and that tends to leave a mark, at least for me, I think, just because I have always had a little bit of sensitive skin. That I try to get vitamin E oil on immediately because I hate having the little bumps. You know, if the shot just doesn't go perfectly, it mm-hmm. can happen. And in the wintertime, it's, you know, if I'm doing my arm per se, you know, I just pull my sweater back over and no one sees the bump the rest of the day. But in the summer, when I'm running around in a tank top, I'm a little bit more aware of just everything. So I definitely have my self-conscious moments when I'm like, oh, goodness. And I know it doesn't seem like it should be that big a deal if it's a tiny little bump, but, like, I know it's there.
It's just another room. Sorry, I'm now zipping up my sugar medical case. No, but it makes a difference. Like, it's something that people who, you know, don't experience this disease, they don't have to think about in that way. I mean, yeah, everyone has their own body image issues, body positivity, all that shtick. But at the end of the day, like, I have a pod stuck to my arm's leg, but whatever you want that day of the week. But that's like something that I recently lost a little bit of weight and I've been feeling like hella confident. And I was home for a little bit at the beach in Jacksonville before starting my new job. And I was like, I was walking around. I was like, hell yeah, I look great. And I was like, oh my God, why is everyone looking at me? What's going on? And then I remembered, oh yeah, I have this pod on my leg. And it was just one of those things that's like, it made me, oh, also I heard, oh my God, I completely forgot about the story and it's so particular to this topic. Anyways, there were these two elderly women sitting at a table next to me and I was hanging out with my aunt at the beach. And I get up to go in the pool and the woman goes, do you see that thing she has on her leg? Really loud. And I'm like, here we go. And you know, like,
excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things that, you know, I'm from the South and I honestly, you know, it was like one of those like bless her heart moments. She wasn't trying to be like mean about it, but also like, lady, I can hear you. And had she just asked me what it was, I would have been more than happy to explain, you know, type of thing. But being like, and then I heard her, so I got really self-conscious all of a sudden, and then I'm in the pool, and I hear her saying, yeah, that's a port. I think it's a diabetes thing. And aww. I was like, oh my God, wait, she's woke. She, like, knows. So I...
Every once in a while, you get that. Like, I even checking my blood sugar in public, people have come up to me and be like, hey, pal, you know, it's... Every once in a while, there is some positive aspect to, like, the non
right. So I was having this whole like invisibility. I thought I was having this really negative experience and I was super self-conscious, and then I was like, this woman, you know, whether she works in the health field or she knows someone who knows someone or she herself, mm-hmm. you know, like, you never know someone else's story. And I was so ready to feel upset and judged and, you know, like, singled out because of the disease, which is so ironic because, you know, like, I feel like I've made it my mission to make sure I don't feel that way. But, like, everyone has their moments for that, you know, me included. I can talk all this talk, but at the end of the day, when I'm standing on the beach, I don't want to be looked at for my insulin pump. I want to be looked at because I look good, you know? So, also for my brains. Absolutely. Mostly for my brains. but it's just, it really made me take a step back, and I was like, wow. I was really embarrassed by the way I had reacted, but then I was like, I'm human. It's okay. But, you know, for the other kids that are out there, you know, that don't have that type of perspective on it yet, you know, or are afraid that their crush is going to see their bruises from, you know, an injection gone awry, or if you're pale as hell like me and, you know, just every hematoma from every injection, basically, it's valid fears. What you're feeling is definitely, you know, anything you feel is valid, but it doesn't mean that you should put any worth into it. So my question for Miriam is, how do you, you know, like, what did they teach you about body positivity in college?
I think, you know, this is obviously an issue for everyone. This is not even like diabetes, like type 1 diabetes specific. We obviously have a couple extra robot parts at times or extra bruises at times, but this is like a complicated problem. I think what helped, you know, kind of like a normalizing thing is like literally everyone is self-conscious. Even the people who look like they're super confident on the beach, like you're kidding yourself if you don't think they're worried about how they look in their bathing suit or if people are looking at them. You know, everyone has some sort of body image issue. And I do as well, even not diabetes related. Of course, it's like we're women in today's society. Of course, we're going to have body image issues. We're kind of forced to in some sense. I think the extra parts we might have on us or the extra bruises we have on us add another layer of complications. But I think at the end of the day, you can't, I know I've said this at other episodes too, but you really can't change other people. You can't make someone understand who doesn't really want to understand. You can't teach people all the time if they don't want to be taught. I think you can teach a lot, but some people just don't want to learn. So all I can really say in that situation is like, you do you. I wish I had a more like...
I feel bad because I keep asking you the same thing because I wish there was just an answer tied in a pretty
quick
bow.
Fit. But the reality is it's learning over time to feel more comfortable in your skin, and that's obviously not an easy fix, or like society would be a better place. But I think like I'm thinking of myself, for example. I remember like in high school or even in college feeling so embarrassed just pulling my meter out to check my blood sugar. I don't know why. Like, it's people knew I had diabetes. Even nowadays, or sometimes I'm having dinner with friends and I find myself like hiding my meter, and I'm not sure what that's about, because like this isn't a surprise to anyone that I have diabetes all of a sudden. But I think it's just natural to feel a little, I don't want to say shame, but a little bit of
trepidation
for the thing that makes you so clearly different than everyone else. No matter how unique we all want to be, like we're a society that is founded on like wanting to conform and wanting to be like everyone else, and diabetes makes us very different, and all the things we have to wear and all the things we have to do make that very obvious and kind of force us to be out in the spotlight. But even thinking of myself, it's like recently I've noticed that I've stopped caring as much about the extra parts, and I'll be out, you know, I kind of work in the field, so I'm running around all day, and I'll be at coffee shops by myself a lot during the day, restaurants by myself a lot during the day, just to kind of bide time. And I'll whip my meter out right on the turn of the table. Everyone can see me. And it's all of a sudden I have this like weird newfound confidence about it.
Yes.
I wish I could tell you what that was from, because I have no clue. But I realized if you just stop caring.
You found yourself, Miriam.
I guess I found myself. But I think even on the beach and stuff, it's like the reality is I have to wear this pump and it makes my life much easier. It's something that works well for me. This Dexcom makes my life much easier. It works for me. So if I'm on the beach and my Dexcom is out and it's not even like attempting to hide it or attempting to hide my pump, I just kind of am like, fuck it. And I realize when you exude that confidence that you don't care and this isn't weird and it's not a big deal, people might look, but they kind of move on.
100%. I highly recommend, this is like, oh my God, I wish I was sponsored by Amy Schumer, but this is not a plug.
I was just going to say, I feel like I'm talking about the movie.
Okay, definitely for those struggling with any type of mm-hmm. body image issues, diabetes related or not, go check out the movie I Feel Pretty with Amy Schumer. And not only is it funny and like totally just spot on how women approach their bodies, but it definitely makes you feel, well, first of all, it's got an amazing soundtrack, so... check out Lizzo, and I recommend the song Good As Hell. Makes you feel good as hell.
I love that song.
Listening to it on repeat, this is real, this is me. But it also just makes you feel like, yeah, okay, you know, I might not be Kendall Jenner, but I'm, like, damn proud of how I am. Like, also, nothing's wrong with Kendall Jenner. She's a beautiful person. But still, like, we all have our own thing, you know?
Exactly. And then you leave the movie feeling like, okay, it's really all your mindset. And even, you know, everyone's got their thing they're self-conscious about, but it's all about how you work it, how you present yourself. And when you're confident, people are going to notice the flaws that you feel like you have. They're going to notice them much less because you're focusing on all the parts that are so good and important.
Yeah, that's work it, W-E-R-K, you know, work it.
I need to go see this movie.
I know. Well, if anyone like sees really it cute. and you leave and you don't feel inspired like Miriam and I do, please reach out and let us know.
Yes, we'll have a very in-depth
An in-depth review on the film, maybe start a movie club. I don't know, just throwing that out there with our pals. But also, like, we'll also, you know, give you positive words of encouragement. If that the movie didn't do it for you, we're here to help. But, yeah, I just, it reminds me of another story. Sorry, guys, I just keep going off on stories. Last night, I was on a date, and I had a moment where I was super I was, like, meeting the guy's friend, and I had to check my blood sugar. I was dropping, and my Dexcom was telling me I needed to calibrate because I still have the G5 because I'm bitter, as can be. That's neither here nor there. But can't wait for the G6. But I whipped it out, and right before I whipped it out, and the it being my sugar medical case, and it just, like, it sounds so weird. I was like, I need to check my blood sugar, and the guys looked at me. I was like, oh yeah, I'm a type 1 diabetic, and I've never felt nervous in saying that before, like, ever, really, because I live my life in a kind of, mm-hmm. like, just fuck it attitude. Sorry, this episode's super explicit language-wise, but, you know, like, it is what it is. God gave me this disease. Everyone around me can handle it. You know, like, I'm just living with the car.
Yeah, and how did it feel? How did that feel to just kind of, like, say that?
Well, kind of just felt like a weight was lifted off my shoulders. And the guy, this slays me. The guy, so this was the guy that I went on a date with, his roommate. He goes, oh, yeah, I know. He told me you have a podcast that's so dope. Like, that's so cool.
Aww.
And I was like,
Just play it like that.
I was like, oh, yeah? Okay, cool, thanks. What? Like, it wasn't even, like, a...
Had you told him about your podcast?
Yeah.
Oh. I was like, that means he, like, stalked you ahead of time. Love it.
Probably, but also no. modern dating, what are you going to do? But it just made me have a moment being like, wow, you know, we took this negative thing, all of us, everyone who's listening, who's trying to better themselves, who's trying to learn about the disease, who's trying to cope with it, we're taking this thing that it sucks... Because let's be real, it does suck at times. And we're spinning it in a positive way. We're talking about it. We're educating others.
Yes.
We're talking to each other about it. We're coming up with ideas on how to cope with it. Like, that's something that I think deserves an accolade instead of feeling like there's a weight on my shoulders when I say I'm diabetic. You know?
Absolutely. And I also think society is just, like, changing in a lot of ways. Like, with social media, like, people are just... There's so many social justice issues going on in the world at all times, and I feel that people are becoming more, like, understanding of differences. I know that it's easier for me to say here in my little, like, bubble in New York City, but I think people are generally more understanding than they used to be, at least more understanding than people are in middle school. So for all the youngins listening, it does get better, I promise. People are more open-minded as you get older, but you're going to get less of those looks where people are like, ew, what is that? And more of like, oh, what is that? You know? Just like things change. I think people become more curious versus judgmental.
Also,
maybe that's very helpful.
This is unrelated to, like, positivity, just because I'm a psychopath. But I've also noticed the more I try to hide something, like if I'm creeping over my purse when I'm checking my blood sugar, honestly, people start looking at you more because they're like, what the heck is this person hiding? And is that steroids that she is shooting into her body? Like, what's going on?
That's better than heroin.
So,
yes.
If you're a little bit more open about what's going on, no one's going to be craning their neck to see what you're doing because, you know, it's clear you're not doing anything that you have to hide.
Exactly.
I mean, there's always going to be people that are crazy, though. So, like, I don't want to get a little nugget writing into us be like, I check my blood sugar and this woman was like, what's wrong with you? Like, yeah, that happens. Yeah. Like,
people are always gonna suck.
Exactly. There's always gonna be the one bad apple in mm-hmm. in a bag of great ones. So don't worry about it. That's not a saying, but I just made it one. Anyways, I think that brings us to the end of the episode. Thank you so much, Miriam. As always, it's been a pleasure and I miss you. Before I even hang up, I miss you already.
Aww.
And
come back to us.
Yeah, Christy's like, come back. Okay.
I'm still here.
Yeah, true. You're not wrong. Okay, everyone listening out there on the World Wide Web, Be sure to follow us on Instagram at pancreas_pals, on Facebook, which is pancreaspalsPP. Head on over to our website, pancreaspals.com. I dare all of you to say what I just said 5 times fast. And check out our diagnosis stories page. Check out some recipes. Catch up on all old episodes and see what's going on. So amazing having you, Miriam. Follow Miriam on Instagram. Miriam, are you public? Actually, I think you're private. Maybe don't follow Miriam on Instagram.
No, you totally can. I accept people who request me.
What's your Instagram?
I don't know why it's Miriam Brand.
That makes so much sense.
Oh my god.
That is my name. It's very
I just love how creative. You pronounced it. Just like I thought you were about to be like Miriam with like 3 C's or like something random. And Miriam Brand. So for those listening, check her out. She's a gem. And you know, thanks for listening, guys. Have a great rest of your week and let the good shugs roll. As Libby would say. Okay.
Yes.
Word out.
Bye, guys.
Bye.